Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. I'm not sure there is anyone around the world that doesn't know about COVID-19 right at this moment. And I am sincerely praying that it hasn't affected you or your family. And please know, my dear friend, that you are always on my mind and that this community is so important to me. So I'm hoping we can really lift everyone up and be a resource. It would be a very gross misstep, in my opinion, if I didn't dedicate an entire episode to coronavirus and its impact on your money and also general preparedness. So that's what we're going to do today, not with fear, but with information and facts to really help you navigate these super, super strange waters that we all seem to find ourselves in.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Compton Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
I found myself feeling a lot like I did on 9/11 and then again in 2008 when I was thinking, what the like expletive is happening right now? That like weird feeling of not knowing what to do. Do I go outside? Do I stay inside? What do I do? Do I go to events? How many groceries do we need? Oh no, wait, I have a cough. Am I sick? I could go on and on, but likely you're probably feeling the exact same thing. So I asked Mish Snyder, who's been on our show many times before from Market Gauge, to come back and tell us what in the world to do with our money and given this crazy stock market, what we should be thinking. Now, I did record this episode on Friday, March 13th, so likely the market does look a little bit different today or whenever you're listening to this episode, but the advice is good no matter what. And then remember the episode I did last year with Lori March from Know How Studios, who is a preparedness enthusiast? Well, I'm going to reboot a few minutes from that episode where we talk about preparedness. And in this situation, we're talking about natural disaster preparedness, but I think really let this show you that you should always be prepared no matter what, my friend, and that even when COVID-19 coronavirus is somewhat of a distant memory, that it's always important to pull together a preparedness kit because we just never know when something like this is going to happen again. Well, Mish, I am so excited to have you back on the podcast. Of course, I'm not excited what's going on in the country, in the world right now, going on with the stock market, our finances. So many people are really stressed out right now and don't know who to listen to or what's right and what isn't right. But I immediately thought about you for this episode and know that the listeners love you and felt like you could really be a calming voice for us during this kind of crazy, chaotic time. So thank you so much for taking some time out.
Thank you, Shauna. And I'm so glad that you reached out to me because this is a time to really start taking stock figuratively and literally of whatever investments you might have, and have a very realistic viewpoint of what could happen right now. There is, unfortunately, still a lot of people out there, including some people in the government, that are saying that this is a good time to buy stocks, and they've been saying that for the last 3,000-point drop. So, you know, all the things that I like to tell people, which is to have some level of self-empowerment through education so that you don't get confused about what to do. That's what I'm hoping to help people with right now. You know, not talk necessarily opinion, but talk actual real fact and what the implications are for the market, for the economy, and obviously for people and their money.
Yeah, you know, and I've just been thinking this the last couple of days. I mean, it feels like every day you watch the news, something feels worse than the day before. And it makes me feel very reminiscent of 2008 and even thoughts of 9/11, just that sort of like shell-shocked feeling that we sort of had as a nation. So I'm curious, like thinking about 2008, how is what we're experiencing now different or similar to what happened during that time in the stock market?
Well, that's a good question to start with, because anybody that's under the certain age of, say, 40 may or may not have lived through the 2008 or not invested through it.
Right.
And what we know about 2008 was, first of all, it was very focused on the banking system and the mortgage debacle. The Fed at that point had a lot of room to use quantitative easing to help actually reverse the carnage that had happened, which is exactly what happened. They started adding liquidity, bailing out the banks. And it was really more focused in the United States as opposed to a global ramification. So the fact is it was nasty and certainly had things like, you know, Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns going out of business. But we recovered from it, when I say relatively quickly, if we look at the timeline, it was really started in October 2008 and started to bottom out not quite even a year later. It was more like April, May 2009 when the Fed started adding money to the market that things started to turn around, and that turned out to be the bottom for these last 11 years. So, you know, like fast forward now to this. And this is really a trifecta of crap. I mean, I don't know any more delicate way to put it, because we're not talking necessarily about a very succinct area. And also, by the way, you know, the car industry had also gone down at that point, too, back in 2008. We're talking about something much bigger. I mean, this is, first of all, the virus is having global reach, number one. Number two is that in the midst of all of this, we're having a lot of deflationary factors, which I think can turn, and we'll get to that later. But essentially what's happening right now is with the Saudi Arabia, Russia wars with oil prices, the oil dumping is also having a huge impact on everything, because we are still very much a global economy that depends on oil and gas.
Right.
Countries do. And certainly in the state that I live in, New Mexico, we do. So there's that economic impact, which we don't haven't even really figured out how much that's going to impact. And then the last thing, and this is really where we're different from 2008, is the whole central bank and Federal Reserve role in this. What they're trying to do desperately right now is sort of a QE5, they're calling it, which is a tremendous amount of bond buying. There was rumors yesterday that they also bought investment grade bonds, which basically means they were buying some of the biggest companies, their bonds, which would be like General Electric and a few other companies like that, Verizon.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, my husband has a comment here behind me. Yes.
They weren't buying it directly, but they were funding the primary dealers to be able to buy.
So they weren't actually, the Fed is not allowed to buy that, but they were funding the banks so that
right.
the banks could actually buy these high-grade investments. A little distinction he wanted to know. By the way, my husband, Keith Schneider, is the CEO of Market Gauge, the company that
so
we
he knows
all work
what he
for,
knows
so.
What's going on, too.
he's got a couple of, yeah, good insights about things. But anyway, getting back, so here's really the danger, and this is what people have to understand right now. The Fed and the central banks, and then today Germany announced, today being Friday the 13th, Germany announced that it too was just going to print as much money as they needed to keep flooding the system and flooding the system. If this doesn't help, if the banks can't save us, and I say us, I mean the market and the economy, and then I think that we really have some very serious problems for maybe years to come.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm.
And what are some of the ramifications of printing money? Because I think we can say that and be like, oh, let's just print more money. But we've done that in 2008. We're doing that again, obviously, now. Like, I guess, A, how does that maybe potentially help? And then B, what are some of maybe the ramifications of that?
Well, in terms of flooding the market with money, artificial money, this is the reason why we're even having this. Well, it's not the reason. Obviously, the virus was the prick of the bubble. But this was a bubble in the making for really a very long time, in that once you have all this artificial stimulus, essentially what was happening to these large corporations and some of the smaller corporations was that they were becoming very highly leveraged with cheap money and low taxes to buy back their own stocks. Okay. So one of the things that you've been seeing here is this liquidity crisis where everybody is trying to raise cash and sell anything that they have in terms of their holdings. And obviously the corporations, being highly leveraged, had to dump a lot of stock. So the stronger corporations, you know, like the Microsofts of the world and the Apples of the world, they may eventually survive this, but there's going to be a lot of smaller corporations that you're going to see going into bankruptcy, I mean, as a result of this. Hmm. And that is that could be whether this whole liquidity injection helps or not. Now, but to be more direct to your point, is if you keep printing money, basically what it does is it reduces the value of currency in general. And so, you know, things that are dollar denominated, although the dollar is still stronger than what we're seeing in any other currency except for the Japanese yen, if the dollar starts to falter and there's a lot of money in there and we have this crisis continue, or we get a real blockage to distribution of food and we wind up with shortages as a result of low production and low distribution, then we could be talking about an economic scenario that nobody wants to see. It hasn't happened since 1973, but it's stagflation.
Right.
And essentially so people understand what stagflation is, it's essentially when the economy, see, people are calling for recession right now, full-blown recession. And that's a possibility, too. And deflation is also possible. Every possibility is on the table now. However, my feeling about this is, having seen this happen before, in 1973, so what stagflation means is that you have, and that was, of course, the oil crisis that happened in the mid-70s, which spurred on slowing economy, but hyperinflation of prices. So the reason why we're not seeing anything like that right now is because oil just got killed because of these oil pricing. When I mentioned trifecta, there's another factor to consider here, and that is yesterday we bombed in Iraq. I mean, there's still somewhere out there, although nobody seems to want war, which is a good thing, there's still that possibility that we can get into some kind of snafu with the Middle East. And that would not be a good thing. But that would then actually kind of bring to play, that might be the prick, like the virus has been on the bubble that we've seen created through artificial stimulation, is that could be the prick that tends us into more of a stagflation scenario.
Interesting. Yeah. And a couple of my friends asked me this question, and this is a good one to ask you. You know, what is happening in the stock market? If you are a novice and maybe you just have money in your 401k and your IRA and your Roth, and you don't really feel like you know what's going on. And we have these days where we'll be down 1,000 points or 2,000 points. And then the next day we're up 900 or 1,000, like this yo-yo effect that kind of goes back and forth. What is happening in there? And how much should we pay attention to those yo-yos up and down, especially right now?
Certainly, this is a historical precedence. We've never seen this type of volatility. I mean, we had huge spike of volatility in 2008, but in terms of, you know, these 1,000-point moves up and down, I can never remember the stock market being like that. I was a commodities trader, and you might see those kind of crazy volatility moves in futures,
yeah,
but not in the actual stock market. So, you know, essentially, this is a resetting of possibly the entire way monetary policy has been set and the way the markets work in general. And that's, to me, an extremely dangerous situation, especially for people who are being told to what we call passive investment. Don't worry, it will pass. This is all going to go away. Just hold on to your losses because it's all going to turn around. And, you know, we've kind of been sort of fortunate in this country, but from 1969 to 1985, the market was flat after we had a crash. And that, you know, who wants to sit 15 years with no gain in their money? Now, younger people could afford that, maybe more, but anybody in the baby boomer generation should be nervous. And even in the younger generations, I would certainly not want to be sitting heavily long in stocks. And if you haven't gotten out at this point, I would say that you should really consider selling your stocks right now. Because I don't think that this is going to end well. And I'm not the only one. I just saw JP Morgan, who wrote that, you know, any rally should be sold into now. And that's what we're seeing happening here. The market today is up. It was up much more in the morning. And then it sold off by 700 points. I mean, these are these swings we're talking about. And that's because I think people are taking these opportunities rather than to buy, but also to sell and get out.
I'm trying to think, like, if I was really a novice to investing and, you know, I can hear them sort of yelling at me through this episode, like, ask this question. So I want to make sure I ask some of those that come to my mind. So when you say sell off the stocks, like, what does that mean in terms of if you have a 401k or you have an IRA, what are you doing? What are you moving into? Like, what's the practical application of that?
Well, quite honestly, considering nothing is really safe right now, gold has sold off, silver has sold off, all commodities have sold off. The bonds, which had a huge rally, also now have sold off from its peak. I would say that if you could raise cash,
right,
that would be something good to do. Even if the rates go to negative, next week we have a Fed meeting. When by the time people hear this, it'll be this week that we have the Fed meeting, and there's anticipation that the Fed will go to zero in terms of the rate. So essentially, if you really wanted to hold out any longer, if the Fed does that, which seems very likely that they will, at least lower by 0.5%, if not go to zero, and the market doesn't respond for more than a day or two, like just like what happened yesterday when they announced $500 billion of bond buying through repos, then you really need to get out, you know, totally get out, because it's telling you that the Fed can't fix this. They're out of tools. And this is just going to be the free for all until we finally get to some point, since it is a free market, that we get to what people consider to be fair value.
And how do you know what that, when that point is, when that fair value is, or when the point is that you should maybe jump back in?
Well, you know, there's going to be a couple of things. In fact, if we go study history, like right now, if we look at, let's just say NASDAQ, QQQ is the ETF I'm looking at. And the reason why I'm saying NASDAQ is because of all the four indices, being the S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrial, and the small caps, which you and I remember my conversation with you about the Modern Family, my
yes.
economic Modern Family, and the granddaddy of that was the small caps, and you watch them, and they're going to relay what's going to happen.
Exactly.
And they never went to new highs when everything else was. That was my first signal. We got out of stock in the middle of January. So,
wow.
You know, we saw this coming. But I'm going to say Q's now, because the NASDAQ, with the big stocks, the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Google, Netflix, et cetera, those would probably be one of the first to actually settle down. So this is where phases really come into play here. Right now, we're in a situation where we're in what we call a distribution phase. I would certainly say at the very least, we would have to see a lot of institutional investors use the 200-day moving average. The 200-day moving average in the NASDAQ is around $200, and I'm looking at QQQ. If we can get some kind of a weekly settle above that, then maybe the worst is over, and maybe you might miss the first $20 of the bottom, but that's okay in this type of volatility. But I think what's going to be even more reliable is let's go to where the storm started, and let's look at the small caps. And the reason why, for those of you who may not know, is because the small caps represent manufacturing sector of the United States. It's really the supply side of the economy. And that crashed long before the NASDAQ did, long before the SPY, the S&P 500 did. So it would stand to reason for me, the way I would probably look at this, is that if we're going to see any kind of bottom, it's going to be here in the small caps, because manufacturing is going to come back and feel better. And that's where fair value will come.
Mm.
How do we know when that happens? This is a really good question. Right now, we don't know. We're not going to know really for a while. So rather than, here's what I'm trying to say, is we're all so programmed to, when do we know when it's over? I wouldn't worry about that right now. I would more worry about is how far much further can we go down before it's over? And then you and I can have another conversation in 6 months, 3 months, what have you, maybe a year. I'm not saying we have to wait this long, but I'm just saying it could be 2025.
Wow.
By the time we actually get into a conversation where we can say, is it time to get back in? So that's really the reprogramming that people, we all want to buy. It's American to buy. And we all want to say, well, gee, Disney, that's got to be a good stock, right? You know, I've watched the Disney Channel. I've taken my kids to Disneyland, Disney World, which, by the way, is all closed right now. When is a good time to buy Disney? That's got to be a good stock. Well, heck, if you liked it at 150, you loved it at 120, and now it's trading 94.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? It's like we have this right now because we're in crisis mode. And again, I can't say this enough. if the Fed's actions and the central bank's actions of pump, 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 which is the one of the reasons why we're here to begin with, if it doesn't work when they try to do this again over the next week, as they're planning to do and have already started, then, you know, we are not going higher, at least not at this point. And I would definitely feel remiss to try to say anything other than that. And certainly I'm not going to say this is going to be the bottom, because we won't know until it shows up.
That's such a good point. That, wow. Gosh, I have so many questions. So what do you do if you are investing like through your 401k or your Roth, and in those paychecks deductions are coming out and they're going into funds? Like, should you still be funding that in the same way? Do you rethink that strategy?
I would certainly rethink that strategy. I mean, every 401 has different rules,
sure,
about what they can do. So, the thing is, you know, so what you really basically have to do is you have to inquire from the people from your job or your employer about your 401 to see what kind of options you actually have to be able to get out or go to cash or something like this. You know, because everybody has different options. Some people would pay penalties, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that's really something that is going to be very individual depending on the type of company that you're working for. So that's really, and by the way, I cover a lot of this in my book, Plant Your Money Tree. So, you know, this is really, I do a whole bunch of talk about what to do if you have a 401 or some type of retirement account. There is, you know, really lots and lots of ways that you can actually even change the type of 401k you have. So this is something that I think that people should call up their employers and find out what their options are in terms of putting money in from their salary, like you're saying, ongoing, or is that just like, you know, basically pissing into the wind your money for now until things settle down? So this is going to be something that people should certainly inquire about.
I love that you brought up your book. I wanted to ask you a quick question about that, because obviously I've spoke very openly on this podcast. You know, this is certainly not something I'm paid to do, but your book literally sits on my nightstand. And investing has been one of those things that for me, even as a certified financial planner, investing is still, it's not tough for my brain to wrap around. It just, for me, it's always felt not totally in my comfort zone as far as like expertise goes. And so having you write a book that really breaks down the language and more so the phases, like the education behind investing, I think is really important. And I think more so than ever right now, like really understanding that, like if you could just talk for a minute, I know we've done this on other episodes, but those phases that we go through in investing, like how important is it to understand those phases if you are any type of an investor?
Well, you know, the phases are really basically two simple moving averages. What's the problem is right now, and the reason why I didn't say to you, oh, simple, just wait for us to go from a bearish phase to a recuperation phase, which is exactly what happened in 2009. The reason why I haven't said that right now is because of the rapid decline we've had. The moving averages, which are lagging indicators, haven't even had a chance to catch up yet. So technically, in the indices, we're not even in a bearish phase.
Wow.
So the only thing so right now I can't say to you, well, that's simple. Just wait for things to clear back over the moving averages. Because right now, just looking at the small caps, which are trading at 112, the IWM is the symbol, in order for them to clear the moving averages, we have to go back over 160. I mean, that's an insanely big move. As opposed to if you look back at 2008, it was very clear. The moving averages were down for so long that by the time they actually crossed over, you aren't talking about a huge amount of price gain from the low to when that happened. Right now, it's very, very treacherous because everybody's going to try to say, oh, the market was up a day or two. This could be the bottom. And I'm not saying it can't be, But like I said, at this point now, it's like all going to be a matter of risk. That's right. Really. And so also my phases, which are awesome, at this point now, they're actually not necessarily going to be the best indicator, like I said, because the moving averages are so lagging behind. What would be the best thing? And it would be for this volatility to subside, for the price to consolidate over a period of time, for the moving averages to be able to catch up a little bit, and then we can look at this type of situation of phase changes. Otherwise, you really need to have some really good expert charting experience to understand things like what we call island bottoms or exhaustion gaps or fadeaway gaps or reversals, et cetera, et cetera. So this would actually might even be a good time if you decided to go to cash, is to seek out some type of investors who really do have an understanding. So I would say twofold here is, number one is, right now, maybe forget about phases. You should have been out when we went into a caution phase already. That was very clean. But at this point now, if you decide to go to cash or you want to transfer your money, really ask, you know, what's your understanding of looking at price patterns on charts? You know, how much technical analysis do you use? Because fundamental analysis has not been very useful in this. Because people were saying buy the market when it was at all new time highs without having any understanding of what was going on with some of the other sectors of the market. So that would be two things, is, you know, not necessarily try to become an expert this fast to manage your own money, but there are plenty of services out there and registered investment advisories like ours, for example, that actually do put our investors into things based on technical analysis that we have back tested for 20 years and as 40 years traders really understand.
That's such a good point. Wow. Well, this has been incredible, Mish. I just want to sort of wrap up a little bit. Like, I know we've said a few of these things already, but for somebody who's listening, who's feeling a little bit of that panic, what should they do and not do? Is there a checklist or an action list, or what should they be paying attention to and maybe not be paying attention to?
Okay, so number one, I'm glad this is a good way to wrap it up. Number one is obviously considering that the Fed has a reputation of saving the day. If they can, great. People can rest assured and start looking at some value. If after the middle of next week, after the Fed makes an announcement and there's more repo buying and the central banks are doing what they're doing, we do not get some kind of sustained relief rally that really holds, then liquidate, liquidate, liquidate. Currently, right now, I would not be looking to buy anything. I mean, if you're holding stuff and you've already suffered enough pain, you know, maybe wait another few days at most, or get out now and, you know, salvage whatever you have. That's number two. So it's really going to be a lot about the Fed. Next, really watch what happens with supply chain. Because if supply chain through the virus gets disrupted, or or some of these commodities start to perk up and we start to see some signs of inflation, right now we're in a deflationary period, then I would say at least also hedge yourself with looking at some commodities. And I'm not necessarily just talking about gold. I'm talking about some of the food commodities, wheat, corn, soybeans, sugar, you know, that kind of stuff. Because that could be an opportunity. Right now, I would not. Because right now, they're getting hammered along with everything else. And then, you know, finally, like I said, if the Federal Reserve cannot help, which is very possible in the central banks, liquidate and then sit it out and do your research on finding where else, who else you can confer with. And I'm not trying to be self-promotional here. I'm just saying we have the experience to do this. There are others, but your basic wealth managers, no, because they only get paid to buy stocks. That's all. So they're going to tell you to buy. They're going to tell you to sit it out. Trying to find somebody who doesn't necessarily have that mono or that myopic focus. And then the last thing is, watch the news, but don't rely on the news. In fact, the big winners of this right now is the media, because people are tuned in, fixated, because everybody loves to watch the news when things are bad. I mean, that's just human nature. And I'll make one last comment on that, on about human nature and passive investing. Don't think like a passive investor. We are more likely to accept failure than we can accept success. And that's why people will sit through these deep losses, because hope, fear, and greed comes in. I know it's going to turn around someday. Dangerous thinking. Of course, you should have been out already. But if you're not out, and like I said, if we can't get some kind of a real turnaround here, get out. Don't think like a passive investor, and understand that there'll be opportunities to see if the market bottoms in due time, but it may not be for years. So be protected.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
I know we're sitting in front of some different various goodies that might go into somebody's preparedness. You call it backpack. So walk me through a little bit about how are you thinking about what are the different products or, you know, stuff that you need to put in a kit for yourself to be prepared? And how would you go about knowing what is right for you?
Right. It's a giant question.
Yeah, it I know. Really I just asked you like the $50 million
it's
question.
It's a great question. I think most preparedness begins in your living space. And most things that go sideways are things that you'll be dealing with at home. So there's a lot out there about how to take things with you and be prepared to on the go, to be leaving. A lot of people actually call that book bag a bug out bag, or your sort of emergency escape kit, right? These are the things you need to leave your home with. Well, unless you're running away from a hurricane or a snowstorm that's going to be extremely damaging or a wildfire, lots of things that go wrong, you're actually better to just shelter in your house. So a lot of our preparedness lives at home, and you just have to start by thinking about your risks. What are the things that could happen? Well, number one, the power could go out, right?
Sure.
Hey, that means there's no Netflix. So it's nice to have a book or two laying around. That could be preparedness.
A book? What is that?
Right? Well, what if your iPad couldn't charge or your Kindle and you couldn't read? Well,
I can't imagine.
It would be rough, right? Hey, a solar charger would get you through, and you could put it in the sun every single day. The sun would come back up again, right? So you could be charging that Kindle or that iPad. You could still have access to all your digital stuff. Or, you know, at night, you need to make sure that you can see, right? So candles, matches, these are all things that are nice. Flashlights, great to start with. These things are so unsexy, aren't they?
They're very unsexy.
Like, not one of these things jumped out at you and was like, let's start a Pinterest board.
About it. Flashlights and
you're not
solar
on
panels.
No,
right?
No,
but I would be if I really needed it.
Right.
In the sure moment. I'd be like, oh, Lori told me if I would have had this thing, I would be in a completely different situation now.
Yeah, it's not sexy. But I will tell you, when you had the thing you needed, you feel smug. You feel so self-satisfied. When you had that flat, it happened to me the other day. The power went out. I happened to be in the bathroom. I was just about to pee.
That's the worst place.
The power went out and I had a flashlight in there. And I left that bathroom with a flashlight in my hand and like the most self-satisfied look on my face, I'm sure, while I was headed to the breaker box to figure out what went wrong. Because I had the damn flashlight in the bathroom. Like, when does that happen?
I mean, and you found the flashlight, which is the other key.
It's where I left it. Right. That's the other thing. You know, part of preparedness is especially if you're in a couple, you got to tell the other person where the flashlight is.
Right.
One person can't be prepared alone.
That would be another disaster, I think.
It would be a lot less fun to have to root around and find the things because you thought your spouse might have gotten them. But, you know, preparing, if more than one person uses your home, it's great to have that communication so that everybody knows where the flashlight is, right?
Right.
It's important.
So what about things like food and water? If we're in our house for an extended period of time, how do we prepare those sorts of things? Is there better things to have than
sure.
others?
This is a thing you could make as simple or complicated as you want. So at the most basic in your home, it's great to have peanut butter and crackers, tuna fish, stuff that you could potentially just make without having to heat or cook, you know, no boiling, no, you didn't have to use any appliance.
Easy stuff. Yeah.
Yep. Cereal, you know, granola bars, trail mix, soup that if you really wanted to, you could eat it out of a can if you had to, you know, there's just things that you can consume that don't require a ton of prep. These are great things to start with for your kit.
If we had cereal in our house for our preparedness kit, we would have to seriously hide it. Or it would be gone.
You know, my trick for that is I put it on a upper shelf I can't reach without a ladder.
That is a good trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have busted into my preparedness kit recently when I ran out of coffee one morning and grabbed these. Actually, I put it here on purpose so you can see this. This is instant coffee, which is kind of sacrilege to most people, except what do they say? In the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Listen, when you run out of coffee and you find instant coffee packets, you are king.
Right?
So
or
I saw,
at least you've scratched your coffee itch for the moment.
Yeah. But this is a perfect example. So if the power went out, I tend to consume coffee. I grind the beans myself. I plug a grinder in and I grind the beans and then I put it into my coffee maker. Those two things use electricity. So if the power is out, I can't grind the beans. We can't really make coffee with like the bean without the grind. So this is pre-ground. I could actually just pour this into cold water if I'm sort of coffee jonesing.
Desperate.
Sad and really need it. I've done this before on a job site where I just really wanted a coffee. There's no hot water anywhere. I just poured it into a water bottle. I drank it. I lived. I live to tell another day. And so did my crew, by the way. I didn't kill anybody.
So if you're a coffee junkie, obviously it sounds ridiculous, but yeah. You should probably have some instant coffee.
You're not a coffee person. I know this because
yes.
Yeah, I can tell.
I cannot relate.
This is a great example. If I was making a book bag to go out into the world in case of emergency, you bet your ass I'd have a couple of these in there, because part of emergencies is also about knowing that you're without all of your comforts. If something really goes sideways, you have to change your life for a couple days or a couple hours or for a while. You know, people who are out of their homes for hurricanes, their creature comforts, the things they're used to that made their life good, can be gone in a minute. So something as simple as having the drink you drink all the time available to you, or, you know, if you're somewhere and you have it, like hurricanes, if you haven't been able to bathe in a while or take a shower, having these wipes becomes so important. This is like a shower, one shower individually wrapped in a package that you can bust out sometime in a public restroom, do a full wipe down and feel so much more comfortable. So no one thing saves your life, but in the moment when you're not okay, things like this could make you so much more comfortable and make you feel okay when you're not okay. You know, I think that's kind of part of what people miss about preparedness. You're not going to know. You can't read the world. You don't know what's coming.
Right.
But having a couple of things that you know how to use, that you have in a safe place, and have a couple skills, you know, these things really get you 10 steps ahead if something does go sideways.
I mean, you talk about this more than I do, but it shouldn't cost you a ton of money to get a few things, right?
Sure. It doesn't have to. Sometimes the simplest way is when you go to the grocery store, adding on a couple things. Toilet paper is a preparedness tool.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Don't be stuck without it.
That would be bad.
But hey, if you're in your home for 2 weeks and you can't get out for whatever reason, you know, the normal standard things you run out and grab, you might not be able to get. Amazon might not be able to get to you. So, you
God
know,
forbid.
Right?
I can't get my shipment in 2 days. What right? is going on?
Can I get that toilet paper prime?
Right. And now you're telling me I can't read my iPad or whatever.
No.
I mean, life is just will cease.
Serious.
I'm just kidding. But Serious. But in all honesty, these are things that we're very used to having in our world. And when they're not, it's uncomfortable experience and you feel scared and out of your element.
In these really uncertain times, I think it helps to have people you can tune into that are paying attention to facts and not fear. And I'm not saying to only listen to Mitch, but use what she's told you to help inform some of the decisions you're going to be making with your money. If you want to connect directly with Mitch, she would love to. You can find her at marketgage.com. You can also email her. That's mish@marketgage.com. And be sure to pick up our book, Plant Your Money Tree, to do some reading now, so you can be prepared once the market does bounce back. And check out the full episode with Lori March. I'll have a link in the show notes. It is an episode that ran in 2019. And again, just please feel free to share this episode with friends that need to hear this message. And let's all just come together and get through this united. And remember that we can be smart with our money, even in these times of really craziness when we just don't know what to do.
Hey, where are you going? We're not quite finished yet. We just wanted to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money and for helping us create a safe space to talk about money. For more on this episode, check out the show notes and don't be afraid to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Seriously, we love hearing from our Millennial Money family, so send us your rave reviews. We look good in 5 stars. Just saying. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/CD specials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.